Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. It is Wednesday again. It is the sixth day of September 2023. You are listening to Financial Survival, and I'm glad you're with us today. As always, we'll bring up in a couple set minutes here. We're going to make Wendy Wilson with the Pocket the Herbs on some information that you don't want to miss. You may find out we've been suckered into some more things, just spending money on something that doesn't work. Wouldn't that be a shock? But anyway, we'll get right to the markets and get on from there and then turn Wendy loose, okay? Metals all had a down day. Gold was down 909 to 1917.44. Silver's down 40 cents, 23.15. Platinum was down 35.20 to 933.50. Palladium was down 13.40 to 1214 even. The American markets were all down. Dow was down 186 to 34.455. NASDAQ was down 168, 13.852. S&P was down 34 to 44.62. The FTSE was down also 0.21% to 18.456. The DAX was down 0.19% to 15.741. Nikkei was up a little bit, 0.62% to 33.241. Hang Seng was up a little bit, 0.59% to 18.467. USDX was up again, 0.05 to 104.86. And, folks, oil is up, and oil is going to keep going up. We'll share that story in a little bit, but oil is going to go up and up and up. It's up a dollar a barrel today to 87.69. The 10-year yield was also up 0.032 to 4.30%. So that's the markets and the metals. Metals all down. U.S. markets down. Overseas mixed. And oil going up. So hang in there, folks. The price of gasoline at the pump will be going up to match everything, and it's not going to be pretty. I'm afraid we're in for a rough ride ahead this winter. Now, our guest, as always, on Wednesday, is Wendy Wilson, one of my favorite health people in the world. I love listening to her information and the knowledge she has. And, Wendy, welcome.
Dr. Butch, always great to be with you and all the listeners. I thought today we'd talk about the cancer complex, because cancer can be very complex. And you know what? People go get screening for cancer every year. How many times have you gotten calls by your doctor, if you're over the age of 55, to get in and get your mammograms and colonoscopies and all that stuff? I mean, people get called all the time for that. But there's this recent report, Pastor Butch, in the August 2023 Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine Report, and they say cancer screenings do not offer patients precious time beyond their lifespan. Well, therefore, you know, common screening tests people are asked to take every year to provide early detection for cancer, well, it seems to not add any longevity to the patient. So research is involving clinical trials on more than 2.1 million people who had six kinds of common tests for cancer. And here's a quote from the report that said, doctors have encouraged people to get routine cancer screenings for nearly a century. Depending on age, the American Cancer Society also recommends routine cancer screening. And, you know, I'm over the age of 55 now, Pastor Butch, and I get called every 3 months to come in and get that stuff. Now, the concept, though, to having the screening was to detect cancer early or even before symptoms start in order to begin treatments to improve survival and prevent premature death. However, it seems that this new research is saying the screenings do not change the outcome. So if that's the case, the journal articles and the marketing tools that have been, you know, stating early detection increases, not decreases, your chance of longevity is really just a marketing ploy. So they the study also listed one exception, though, that it was the colorectal screening. Those checks, they say, do lower the chances of dying 3 months prematurely. So they're saying you live 3 months longer if you get that. So the research did say that depending on the cancer, the harms and burden produced by the screening and subsequent treatments may not be worth it. Here's a quote from the report that said the authors of the new research are suggesting that rather than emphasize that cancer screening save lives, doctors should be clear about their absolute benefits, harms, and burdens. So you're not getting full disclosure, apparently. So let's look at the tests that they have. The screening tests people are encouraged to take to detect cancer would be breast cancer, and those costs can range anywhere from $150 to $750. Your cervical cancer test, $200 to $300. Colorectal is $1,300 to $3,200. Lung screening for cancer is $250. Prostate is $100 to $300. So some clinics even offer some free screening tests, and most insurance companies cover most of the cost of the test. So in the United States, the money made on cancer screening alone in 2020 was $209 billion. I don't think healthcare professionals are going to get, you know, new training to, you know, tell people the screening can may or may not help you regarding longevity. I don't think they're going to tell them that. What do you think?
I don't think so either.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. I mean, it's all about the money. You know that.
Yeah. Well, going along with, again, another quote from the journal article, they say the researchers looked at clinical trials that involved at least 9 years of follow-up reporting and found no significant difference in lifetime gain with the other most common cancer screening tests, so mammograms for breast cancer, colonoscopy, fecal occult blood testing for endoscopy, prostate-specific or the PSA is antigen test for prostate, and the computed tomography for current and former smokers for lung cancer. They go on to say, with the following enthusiasm for expensive multi-cancer detection blood tests, particularly among policymakers, it will be important to do large randomized clinical trials like the ones in the JAMA study to truly understand whether these tests save lives and warrant their cost. And that was Dr. Gilbert Welch. He is with the Department of Surgery at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and also appeared in the journal article. So you know, this a lot of money in the scanning test. They go on to say, we also find that the tests have a 20% error margin built into them in addition to the subjectiveness of reading the test. So you're going to have, you know, your oncologist read the tests. And, you know, you'd be amazed, Pastor Butch. I worked in healthcare. You'd be amazed how doctors look at these tests and don't know how to read them.
Really?
Yep. A lot of them don't get it. Here's a quote from Thomas Gates, a medical doctor, American Family Physicians. He said, failure to account for the effects of overdiagnosis bias can lead to overestimation of your screening benefits. And this is Thomas Gates again. He said, other potential harms of screening include false negative results, which lead to false reassurance, and an overdiagnosis, for example, he says, detection of disease that will never cause symptoms. And he also says, finally, when treatment is ineffective or has important harms, early detection can result in net harm rather than benefit. Unreal.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Right. And since the research is showing there may be a 3-month extension of life at best, patients are spending their last days paying huge medical bills and making funeral arrangements. So it's a moneymaker. And by now we realize that the cancer screenings and the treatments are huge moneymakers for healthcare. And we could justify the costs and the risk if such tests and procedures and treatments actually worked to improve the quality of life and significantly extended a person's life. But
absolutely.
Sadly, it doesn't seem to be that doesn't seem to be the case in healthcare professionals, especially in the cancer oncology departments. They already know this information, but they are still using cancer treatments, which net $320 billion a year in the cancer treatments, and then the drug therapy for cancer is another $104 billion each year. This is what John Whitaker said, which I agree with him. He said, in my opinion, conventional cancer therapy is so toxic and dehumanizing that I fear it more than I fear death from cancer. And we know that the conventional therapy doesn't work, and if it did, you would not fear cancer any more than you would fear pneumonia, end of quote. He's got
wow.
a point.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So also, I know, and Alan Levin, he's a medical doctor. He's also the author of the book, The Healing of Cancer. He says most cancer patients in the United States die of chemotherapy. Chemotherapy does not eliminate breast, colon, or lung cancers, and the fact has been documented for over a decade, yet doctors still use chemotherapy for these cancers, end of quote.
Money.
Yeah,
money.
I've known this for a long time, you know. And if you get an honest oncologist, a cancer doctor, if he's honest with you, he'll say, we don't cure cancer. He'll tell you that. We just try to, stave off the inevitable, you know, give you a little extra time. And what I've noticed just by reading all these, you know, documented trial studies and things like this over the years, the younger folks may have a better chance of, you know, living 2 years. Usually the average is 2 years after the cancer treatment. There's rare cases where they live 5 years. So within 2 to 5 years, that's typically the time frame in which a patient that had cancer, got treated, dies.
Jeez.
It's sad. But it's basically what I've been reading about. And that's why, you know, I find nutrition and medicinal herbs to be a far gentler and healthier way of dealing with stuff like cancer. Because to be honest, you know, if you get a cancer diagnosis, that's a shock. People get all upset. Yeah. And they think, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And the reason they're saying, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, is because they kind of know on a sub-level, this isn't going to go well. This treatment, this protocol isn't going to cure cancer. I think they know this, right? So the medical schools, they actually condition their doctors to think that the only valid therapies are drugs, surgery, nutrition, and medicinal herbs. Well, they don't even factor in to their treatment profile. Now, Windsor Medical University in Quebec, Canada, I have to give them credit. They were willing to investigate dandelion root when they actually, by accident, discovered that their cancer patients were improving when they were drinking dandelion root tea. So Dr. Carolyn Hamm was in charge of the leukemia patients, and she happened to notice all their blood work looked good on Tuesday. And she goes, what's so different about Tuesday? And it was the tea. That was the only day they got it. So she takes this information down to the lab to the researchers down there. Dr. Marion Pandy was in the lab, and she says, can you figure this out? So he had tested all the cancer cells he had in the lab against extract of dandelion, which is stronger than tea, and under the microscope, healthy cells ignore dandelion, don't absorb it. Cancer cells suck it up greedily, and it kills the cancer. So there's something in dandelion your healthy cells ignore.
Well, let me ask you this, though, is that for all kinds of cancer?
And he said he tested every kind of cancer. Yep.
And it worked on all of them.
Yeah, he says it made the cancer cell commit cell suicide. It just killed it, bam, just like that. Healthy cells, nothing happened. So anyway, you can pull this research up online. Dr. Miriam Pandy, He's the one that you know wrote the report and the study on it. And Dr. Carolyn Hamm was the one that brought it to his attention. So
what you just said is earth shattering to some people. Dandelion could cure cancer.
Right. Oh well, that's what Windsor Medical.
That's what the doctor found. I mean, it's a possibility that it could cure cancer.
Well, I mean, and if you read further into Pandey's research, you know, you can see towards the end they're trying to figure out what that mechanism or element of is in dandelion. What is that compound in dandelion that's doing that so they can make a drug out of it? So that's – if they can't figure it out, they're not going to recommend dandelion. You know,
of course not. There's no money in that.
Right. So but you have dandelion already. You don't need to wait for – them, in my opinion, I wouldn't be waiting for them. I'd be, you know, eating and having dandelion root tea daily, taking the tinctures that are a little stronger. And, you know, Hippocrates, the supposedly father of modern medicine, he said, food is your medicine.
Yes.
You know, and God said, herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. Billions of people have use of herbs, and they've used them for centuries with success, and you can too. You know, it's just people get all upset. They go, I don't know how to do it. And I'm like, well, you learned how to tie your shoes and brush your teeth as a kid. Now it's autopilot. You do it all the time. You can learn how to use medicinal herbs. It's like a supplement. You can do that. You can learn how to do that. It's not rocket science. Not really. Mm-mm. So now there are some exceptions. You know, you don't want to usually mix herbs with prescription meds. There could be some interference there. So you got to look into those kind of elements too. I'm not a big proponent of mixing herbs with prescription or over-the-counter stuff. But your herbal medicines are pretty much whole food elements that are compact, Pastor Butch. They're really packed full of nutrition. There's more nutrition in a lot of your herbal roots than you would, you know, find in a week's worth of meals. Okay, because
true.
Yeah, because it's designed to super infuse nutrition into the system so it can regenerate and build and heal. So that's why a lot of your herbs are bitter. You're only supposed to use a little bit at a time because they're so potent. And they are potent because drug companies, when they started making drugs, they would take chemicals from herbs to make their drugs. So if herbs were not all that great and weren't of any benefit, why did they do that? Yep.
Wait, you tell me.
Well, and the thing is when they isolate, they have to change it. They can't keep it like, you know, God made it. They can't take God's copyright and
there you go. Yeah. There's no money in that again. No money in that again.
Well, they have to alter it, a natural source. They have to alter it to such an extent that they qualify for a patent. And when they do that, it's not the same. And that's why a lot of the same medicinals that worked in its whole food state with no side effects, don't work in a patented form because it's different. It's been stripped of some of its alkaloids and chemical, chemistry that it's just not working the same. And that's why you got side effects. And an example is aspirin. Aspirin was extracted from salicin from willow bark and meadowsweet.
Right.
But when they did that, they stripped it of a lot of the alkaloids that come with it, and it became ace tisalicylic acid. And that's why it creates bleeding issues and suppresses immune system function by turning off fevers. So it works completely different in a prescription form than it does in its whole food form. And by the way, if they were to bring aspirin before the FDA today, it would not pass. It would not even get qualified to pass. It's very toxic. It's very toxic.
How about that?
I know.
I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you have things out there that, as you said, God created for us to use that will heal the body and even help the mind and everything else. I mean, oh, well, we've been poisoned for so long by the doctors, we actually think they're helping us.
Well, and that's how they're trained. So, I mean, a lot of them that get smart usually do a lot of research after medical school. And that's when they start, you know, really becoming the fine physicians that they are, because then they start looking around for other things that work best for their patients.
Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah.
So give information. And I'm going to ask more about that dandelion root just to have some on hand. You never know you need it. But go ahead and give us information out.
Sure. They can give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. 3663. Our web address is thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Then get a free product catalog by calling or requesting one online. It'll be sent to you through the mail.
And the phone number one more time.
866-229-3663.
Thank you, Wendy. That was very, very interesting and informative. Thank you, sweetheart. I'll see you next week, Lord willing.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Let's start the break. We'll bring up our boss, Melody Seastrom, and a lot more to talk about, a lot of news. Y'all hang in there.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back, and again, it is Wednesday, of course, the 6th day of September already, and welcome almost to the fall, but you can't tell right now, it's in the 90s here in the hills of West Virginia, actually about 94 degrees, and that's pretty warm up in my mind for September. Nonetheless, I'm not complaining. It still beats 30 below zero when it gets cold, but we're just glad you're with us today, and I mean that. We're going to bring up the host of the program that's normally with you every day. We're going to talk to Melody Cederstrom. Melody, are you there?
I am. I think I am, yes.
It's good to have you.
It's good to be here,
well,
as always.
Glad you joined us, and I hope you've had a good day so far and just enjoyed everything.
Yes, we did here at Discount Gold and Silver, absolutely.
Well, good. I'll let you tell everybody what's on your mind, and then we'll go with other stuff.
Well, I mean, we had that little bit of, I'm sure you went over the market report and everything, and the market's down, and, you know, it's... You know, when you have mortgage demand is dropping to a 27-year low, I mean, that's huge. And it's just not here. You have the UK builders, they're suffering a sharp fall, you know, as orders and rates rise. You have, it seems like we might be heading into some sort of a little bit of a currency situation. China and Japan are escalating a FX pushback, whatever. They're stepping up their efforts to defend their currencies against our dollar. So that's going to be interesting. to see what happens there. Today, Japan issued its strongest warning in weeks against rapid declines in the yen, and its top currency officials say the nation is ready to take action. And shortly after, China's central bank offered the most forceful guidance on record with its daily reference rate for the yuan as the managed currency weakened to a level unseen since 2007. Does anybody remember what happened back in 2006,
oh, yes.
seven, and eight, and nine.
Yes, I do.
You know, and what people like our dollar might be stronger. It actually helps our imports because it helps inflation, keeps we can buy them at cheaper prices. But on the other hand, you got all these other nations where their currencies and a lot of these. You know, your countries like Turkey and, you know, your third world nations, our strong dollar is killing them. And so it's interesting that both Japan and China, because they're not the best of buddies, come out at the same time and say, hey, you know, we're going to have to start supporting our currency. So it'll be interesting to see what becomes of that. And we certainly have seen the elevated oil prices again, yes. You know, bring us higher gasoline and everything else. Oil is in everything.
It is. And it's going to hurt. And we'll cover it in a minute because this is being done intentionally. You know that. It's being done intentionally. They're cutting back on oil production. And that's not by accident. That didn't happen by accident.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And, you know, you're beginning to see the various relationships. You're really beginning to see a divide in these countries and the relationships. I mean, you're just seeing the connections becoming stronger and stronger. And it'll be interesting to see what India does. It'll be interesting to see what Brazil does. And, you know, if they'll follow the path of the BRICS nation. We talked about this, too, the Panama Canal. Their water levels are at historic lows. They're going to keep the restrictions. We talked about this a couple times. And the Panama Canal's water levels have not recovered enough at the end of the rainy season. Or I should say, as the end of the rainy season approaches, and limits on daily transit and vessel draft will stay in place for the rest of the year and throughout 2024. Remember, this was just supposed to be a month or two.
Right.
And now these restrictions for the rest and throughout 2024, the restrictions implemented earlier this year to conserve water amid prolonged drought triggered a backlog of ships waiting to pass through this key global waterway. This waterway handles about, 5% of world trade, contributing to more expensive freight costs, and this is all ahead of the Christmas season. So,
I think for this year, we're going to see a lot of things happen that right now we know it's bad, but I don't think we can be able to comprehend what's going to happen over the next few months. I truly don't.
No, I think things and I'm going to say this, Butch. Even if it doesn't happen in the next couple of months, that doesn't mean that your dollar is not getting weaker in your purchasing power. Prices are rising. They might not tell you on your TV or on your, you know, favorite rock and roll radio station, but your dollar is buying less and less. The prices are rising
every day.
So just because we don't have a fallout in the stock market, and just because you don't see any panic happening or banks failing, doesn't mean that we have an economy and a monetary system that's functioning properly. It isn't.
That's very true.
So
very true.
So I agree with you, Butch. I think I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen. But there sure is a lot of things brewing. And I said earlier today to someone, I says, now, and I'm sure you're going to talk about North Korea.
I am.
Okay, we'll talk about that when we get there. So I'll let you take away because I know you have lots of things you wanted to bring.
Well, I do, but I wanted to share one thing. You know, I like looking back in the past and comparing dollar values with today. You know that. I like to do that. Mm-hmm. To try to show people how we have been ripped off. I mean, royally ripped off. The Great Depression, I wasn't alive then. I don't think you were either. Anyway.
No, I'm only 30.
Years old.
Nine and a half.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, the average was 48, for average income is $4,800 a year. And they call that the Great Depression. Now, I want you to listen to this. I did not realize this until I checked it out to make sure. $4,800 during the Great Depression. Do you know how much that's worth today, Melody? You have any guess?
I would probably say about $70,000.
$87,000. Now, I got to ask you, what is average income in America over $87,000?
No, sir.
No, sir. So we're in depression, but we're in a quiet depression. I'm going to tell you why. Mm-hmm. I mean, I figured this out. In 1930, they didn't have food stamps and HUD, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, disability. They had none of that. Food stamps. They had none of that. And that sounds really great. Well, you know, we got all that now to save people from suffering like that. It absolutely only causes more inflation, which means your dollar gets worth less every day. And the taxpayers are paying that on an income average that's lower than it was in 1930.
Yeah.
So we have been played for suckers. I'm telling you, folks, we truly have. We really have. I mean, we got benefits at the yin-yang now from the government, but every one of them costs us money, causes inflation, causes more control, and people to become more complacent because they can't say anything, they lose their check. We lost our liberty. We lost our freedoms. We lost everything because we got on the welfare system dole. Oh, well, we're better off because all the taxpayers are pulling together and paying it for us to keep on going. But every day we're losing ground. Every day we're losing ground. And there is no stopping it now. It will not be stopped. They either default on the debt and go digital or some other insane means to try to pull it back together. But either way, folks, it's going to be hard in the very near future. But I want to share that, Melody. I mean, I hadn't thought about that. I looked it up, and I got thinking, well, how's everybody's existing? They're existing off the government, aren't they?
They certainly are.
Wow.
That's a great comparison. Folks. That really is a great comparison. I'm going to use that a lot.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. See, folks, I did something right. I did.
You did. Heard that. Well, it's your birthday tomorrow.
That's right. Day for my birthday. I got something right. Mark that on the calendar.
Mark
September
6th,
2023.
Everybody.
Pastor Butch finally got something right. But anyway, okay.
No, it's your birthday tomorrow. So
it
make
is.
Sure everybody puts it on the calendar. You won't be with us on the radio, but we'll be thinking of you. And
I
hope everyone,
that.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. And I don't know if everybody heard on this program or not, but I get getting birthday cards. I think everybody sends them. I appreciate that. Now, this next article has nothing to do with finances or anything else, but I thought it was interesting. Did you know, Melody, that Jiffy, you've heard somebody say, I'll be there in Jiffy? You heard that, right?
Yes, I have.
Is an actual measurement of time. Did you know that?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Golly.
What do you think I've learned in my 39 years?
Well, I didn't know this. Jiffy's an actual measurement of time. You've probably heard people say things like, I'll be there in Jiffy. Using Jiffy to mean a very short time period of time, something like the blink of an eye. But it may surprise you to learn that for some scientists, the term has a more precise definition. That definition varies depending on who's doing the talking. The physical chemist Gilbert Newton, who lived 1875 to 1946, defined a Jiffy as the length of a time it takes for light to travel 1 centimeter in a vacuum. However, some physicists have defined a Jiffy as the time it takes light to travel 1 centimeter, 1 millionth of a millionth of a millimeter. By this account, each second contains roughly 300,000 billion billion jiffies. But a jiffy has also been defined outside of physics and chemistry. An electrical engineer, for example, might describe a jiffy as the time it takes for a single cycle of altering current, which is 1/15th of 1/16th of a second, depending on the electrical system. Whatever definition holds true, one thing is certain. No one in the history of the world has ever truly accomplished much in a jiffy. So there you go.
You know what? I was listening to a radio program one time, and they were talking about, you know, the beginning and the history of weights and measures. And it really is fascinating because, yeah, you're right. It was a jiffy. It was an arm's length. It was this. It wasn't anything. And so they created these weights and measures, and they're actually stored. I can't remember where they're stored. I think in France somewhere. You know, I mean, it's. And, you know, and I think, Butch, what happens if that just, what if one of these places were bombed in that history of, I mean, what if there was no more weights and measures? What if we, you know, it's
Act
weird to think.
Again.
Yeah.
I don't know. But those things do fascinate me. They really do. I mean, a jiffy. I've heard that all my life. I never knew what it really was. So we'll get nothing done in the jiffy, Melody. Nothing done to Jeff.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so just move on from that, you know. I'll be there as quick as I can, but not Jiffy. But anyway, this comes using New Jersey governor no longer wants immigrants after earlier advocating for sanctuary state. Bless his little heart. New Jersey Democrat Governor Phil Murphy has changed his stance on border policies after refusing to take in immigrants as proposed under the Biden administration scheme, even though the governor had earlier insisted on building a sanctuary state. The Biden administration recently proposed that some of the 60,000 asylum seekers in New York City could be moved to the Atlantic City International Airport in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey. The decision triggered a sharp reaction from New Jersey politicians. I don't see any scenario where we're going to be able to take in a program in Atlantic City or, frankly, elsewhere in the states, Mr. Murphy said during a News 12 New Jersey Ask Governor Murphy show. We are already seeing folks in New Jersey that have probably swelled into Jersey from New York City or from other locations, but you need scale, enormous amount of federal support, resources that go beyond anything that we can afford, putting everything else aside. Mr. Murphy's concerns about housing illegal immigrants and asylum seekers come despite the fact that he had been a vocal supporter of liberal immigration policies over the past years. In 2017, while he was a candidate, Mr. Murphy insisted on making New Jersey a sanctuary state. Well, shut up, Mr. Murphy, and open the doors, because we're trying to send them to you. You want them, so here they come. I mean, that's amusing. I mean, whining and crying, and we got to help these people, send them to us, and we do, they don't want them.
I know.
Isn't that kind of hypocritical?
I think so, yeah.
So, anyway, just thought I'd share that with you. I mean, bless your little heart. Mr. Murphy is backing up on what he promised. Imagine that.
Imagine.
Anyway, I got two or three war stories to share here, world articles. And folks, whether you give us any credence or not, I give a credence to the fact that's been brought up. And it's something people bring it up or will say are high-ranking officials. So I give that credence. I do. World War III has already started, declares Ukrainian security chief. The Third World War has already started, and people should expect more conflicts to break out, Ukraine's top security chief declared on Tuesday. Speaking from the Kyiv Security Forum alongside former CIA Chief General David Petraeus, the security of the National Security and Defense Council, Ukraine's Olensky Denilov, said that people that think the Third War has not yet started make a big mistake. This is not just about relations between Ukraine and Russia. It's also a big mistake. It's a much more complicated geopolitical situation, and some sober-minded people have said that this is not the last war in a century, that Denilov continued. Rejecting the idea of coming to negotiating the table with Moscow, Denilov, who previously served as a mayor of now Russian-occupied Donbas city of Lutsk, compared the situation in his country to is currently facing to London during the Blitz, saying that President Franklin Roosevelt would not have called Winston Churchill and say, "Don't bother Hitler. He has a strong army. Don't anger him. Just accept this." Well, this is not coming from Melody and myself or some right-wing radical group. This is coming from the chief of national defense of Ukraine, saying that we are already in World War III. I don't like to think about that, but I think he's probably pretty much right on the money. It may not be a worldwide national conflict the next day or two, next month or two, even next 3 or 4 months or longer, but World War III has started. We have America and UK versus Russia. And it could go really hot anytime. Melody, any comments on that?
No, I mean, I agree with them. I mean, the wars, I mean, it's, there's always a buildup. You just don't, you know, it's, I think we are too. This isn't going to go away.
No, it isn't.
And this isn't, there's no negotiations going on. No one's talking, as far as I know, no one's talking, maybe behind the scenes that we don't know about, but usually something gets leaked if there was. There's nobody flying anywhere.
It's been over a year and a half. You think if we're going to talk, they would have started. Not, you know, they would have already started.
You would think. So. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. With all, if the, what they're saying is true and a lot of people being killed by the hundreds of thousands, you'd think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Hey, okay. I hear music, Butch.
All righty.
Okay.
Folks, right back after the break. Don't y'all go away. Don't say
since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All righty, folks, we are back in the final segment for the day, and Melody Cederstrom is with me, and she's not saying much, and I know she's there, though. I hear her breathing once in a while.
What do you mean I haven't said much? Wednesday's your show today.
Oh, well, it's okay. I appreciate that. I do. You trust me, and I appreciate it. Now, but you feel free to say anything you want to, and seeing how you're paying for it, for the program, see, so it's all yours, too. But anyway, another war story. And this is, he's going and increasing every day. World War III fears explode. There we go, World War III again. Explode as China warns U.S. of imminent storm of lethal consequences over Taiwan. Now, maybe this is nothing. Maybe they're just blowing smoke and nobody's going to do anything. It's just all hyper, hyper conversations to scare people. China warns U.S. of imminent storm of lethal consequences. That means deadly consequences, folks. China issued a chilling warning as President Joe Biden promised military aid for Taiwan, sending tensions in the region spiraling. Despite the relatively modest $80 million promised, Beijing has been infuriated by the use of the so-called foreign military financing program. the funds typically reserved for sovereign independent states. China sees Taiwan as a renegade province and vows to retake the democratically run island. The Global Times, a communist state-run newspaper, largely seen as Beijing's mouthpiece, went on the offensive, issuing a stark warning after the announcement. China's strong dissatisfaction and firm opposition are obvious, but China's response to the continuous provocation of the U.S. on the Taiwan question will not be limited to mere statements, the paper wrote in an op-ed. Will not be limited to mere statements. It added, with the increasing number and intensity of its intervention methods, the brewing and imminent storm of lethal consequences for Taiwan cannot be ignored. The brewing and imminent storm of lethal consequences for Taiwan cannot be ignored. No, that's pretty strong language.
Are you asking me a question?
I said that. I just want to comment. I said that's pretty strong language.
Yes, it is. You know, it really is. And people should really be paying attention. But, you know, until it hits them in the face, we're just a busy group of beavers and we're ants or whatever you want to call us. And
yeah. Well, when did Taiwan's so-called freedom lease run out? And you know, the U.S. and the Western nations had a treaty with China for years for Taiwan, that the Taiwan would be independent. I can't remember the year that ended. Can you?
Well, it was interesting because I just heard something that something is ending in a year or two. And I had wanted to...
I thought it ended a while back. Go ahead.
Well, I wasn't sure quite with who. So I think what I'll do is look this up a little bit and become a little more familiar with... but I thought there was a group that... I don't know if it's with... I don't know.
Okay. It'd be interesting to find out. Because if we have a treaty with them, we have no right to break the treaty. If we agreed to this, we agreed to it. It's just that easy. I know it doesn't sound pleasant, but folks, you shake hands on a deal, you stick with it. Taiwan knew it was going to end. They're not surprised by it. Now, more hyper speech. U.S. says North Korea will pay a price for any weapons supplied to Russia. Now, I got to make this comment and move on. How come North Korea can't support Russia, but we can support Ukraine? How come? Why is that? How come we're privileged? Why are we special? UK and Russia, if they're aligned with each other and they're allies, why do we get involved with that? We supply Ukraine along with the UK, but North Korea cannot supply Russia without us getting mad at them? Boy, that's doublespeak and that's hypocrisy to the nth degree. But anyway, armed negotiations between Russia and North Korea are actively advancing, a U.S. official said on Tuesday, and warned leader Kim Jong-un that his country would pay a price for supplying Russia with weapons to use in Ukraine. Providing weapons to Russia is not going to reflect well on North Korea, and they will pay a price for this in the international community, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters at the White House. The Kremlin said earlier on Tuesday it had nothing to say about statements by the U.S. official that Kim planned to travel to Russia this month to meet President Vladimir Putin and discuss weapons supplies to Moscow. Kim expects discussions about weapons to continue, Sullivan said, including at leader level and perhaps even in person. We have continued to squeeze Russia's defense industrial base, Sullivan said, and Moscow now looking to whatever source they can find for goods like ammunition. Well, Melody, I don't mean to sound negative or bad, but if we can supply Russia, why can't their friends supply them?
Well, you know, I mean, is that, you know, I don't have an answer for that. But what I'm seeing is, hey, he drew a line in the sand.
Yes.
He drew that line in the sand, just like Obama did.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
And only Obama didn't do it there. He did it in... Syria. So, but this time this is a little different, and I think this line in the sand is going to stick. And so if, you know, so I mean, it's just, you know, he's going to do it, you know, he's going to give weapons and sell weapons and so forth. So that line is drawn, and they said there was going to be, he's going to pay for it. So what's that mean?
That's a good question. It's an international consequence. Maybe going to try sanctions, and they haven't worked too well on Russia. Maybe they won't work too well there either, I don't imagine. So we'll see. It's interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Back to the different topic, oil soars to new 2023 high after Saudis and Russia surprised with extended production cut. Folks, as you saw, as I said, the oil's up a dollar a barrel. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's up to almost $88 a barrel already. When it gets up in the hundreds, it's going to hurt like you know what. It already is. It's $4 a gallon average most places right now. $4 a gallon. If you burn only 2 gallons a day, go back and forth to work 5 days a week, that is a lot of money going out the window. That it is. Add it up. Just days after we said that Saudi Aramco floating its sale up to $50 billion in new stock meant that oil is about to soar much higher. Moments ago, oil exploded higher after first Saudi Arabia, and moments later, Russia surprised markets by announcing that the recently implemented production cuts would be extended through year-end, well beyond the 1 month that was widely expected by the market. Just after 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Saudi Arabia said it would extend the voluntary cut of 1 million barrels a day for another 3 months from October until December, well beyond the expectation of just one more month delay. Saudi's press secretary, SPA, notes that the voluntary cut decision will be reviewed monthly to consider deepening the cut or increasing production. So they're going to make that decision month, whether they cut it more or increase it. The extension of cuts is meant to reinforce the precautionary efforts made by OPEC countries with the aim of supporting the stability of the oil market. The Saudi announcement came as a shock to the market as 20 of 25 traders and analysts surveyed by Bloomberg said last week that had predicted the additional cutback would be continued for the next one additional month. So your gas prices, make it just as plain as can be, your gas prices are going to go up. And so is there a thing made by oil, like tires, plastics, all this are going to go up, period. And that's all there is to it. Get ready for it, folks. It's going to be a direct hit in your wallets no matter what you do. And Melody, I keep saying this. I don't think anybody else knows it or not, but I'm noticing the increase in prices. I'm starting to tell a big difference over the last few months. Maybe some people aren't, but I am. Any comments on that?
You know, it's interesting. I think that also, yes, the prices are rising. But I think what's really interesting to observe is these countries, these nations, they're doing more to protect their own countries now. I mean, Japan, Bob Chapman used to always say, Japan doesn't do anything unless they have the approval of the United States. Well, if they start, you know, making the comments about keeping the yen from falling any further, it seems like they're beginning to work on their own, to act on their own. You have the Saudis. They no longer need the U.S. protection that we provided them that they would sell the oil in dollars. So as I said earlier in the program, you have all these nations. We're seeing it being divided. And just like they've done to our nation, they divided us so much. Well, I can't imagine what it'll take for us to all get on the same page again. But so it's interesting, and that's what I find. The United States is showing again as a weakness. And I saw something today where the U.S. is number 5 now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In the countries that's the most desirable to live in, Switzerland number 1. That's very true. And you made a comment, what will take to get the nation back together again? And I, being a pastor, I read the Bible. And I do read that the beast, the Antichrist, will bring the nations into peace and prosperity for a little while. Maybe that's going to be the answer next time around. We will see. I don't know. Beverly Hills high-end retail stores shuttered amid smash-and-grab epidemic. Folks, this is continuing on everywhere. High-end retail shops in California, iconic Beverly Hills, have reportedly begun to shutter their doors amid an epidemic of smash-and-grab robberies. In a video posted to TikTok, influencer nostalgic Angelino showed over a dozen retailers and restaurants in Beverly Hills shuttered, leaving behind an empty storefront. Some of the businesses include luxury staples like Barney's, New York, and Escada, with the once popular brands having filed for bankruptcy in recent years. Other big-name stores now lying empty include former location for Chanel, Rite Aid, Barnes & Noble, Nike Town, and restaurants like Chipotle and Starbucks. Stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, Hermes, I guess it is, Gucci, and has managed to keep their doors up. Now, moving on to the different, same type of story, but different topic. Unprecedented levels of theft in nation's capital forces supermarket chain to remove name brand items from the shelves. Now, this is how bad it's getting, folks. Walmart, Target, Kohl's, Foot Locker, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Dollar Tree, to name a few, have all raised concerns about out-of-control thefts in their stores nationwide. The latest is supermarket chain Giant Food, which warned about unprecedented levels of shrink, the loss of inventory due to circumstances such as retail theft at one of the stores in Washington, D.C. NBC Washington said the Giant Food, located at 1535 Alabama Avenue Southeast, has already warned if rampant shoplifting continues, the supermarket will have to close its doors. The Giant on Alabama Avenue Southeast is the only full-service supermarket in the area. If it closes, it will create a food desert in the Southeast D.C. Instead of closing, it seems the grocery chain has come up with a solution. In a statement, John said it plans to remove national brand health and beauty care items, replace them with private label brands where possible. The new policy aims to reduce unprecedented levels of theft and make the stores safer for shoppers and employees. None of the tactics we deploy is the ultimate solution to the problem we face, but we continue to invest in efforts that will improve safety for our associates and customers and reduce theft. Part of the statement's read. Replacing brand names like such as Tide, Colgate, or Advil with only private label products is a last-ditch effort to prevent the store from closing. I hope it works, folks, but I don't think it will. D.C.'s failed progressive social justice reform policies have only emboldened criminals. As AP News warned in July, violent crime is rising sharply, fueled by more homicides and carjackings. Wow. And how bad it's getting? Retailers take desperate measures, including fog, F-O-G, machines to deter rampant shoplifting. Who would have thunk that? Retailers in America are now turning to fogging machines to deter thieves from stealing thousands of dollars in merchandise. Density USA, a company based in St. Louis, Missouri, has done business with stores and homeowners in Europe and Australia, Fox News Digital reported. The density foggers are connected to existing alarm systems, which, when activated, will trigger a thick fog in a room in a matter of seconds. According to the president of Density USA, Mike Eagle, thieves can't steal what they can't see. Once it's activated, the Density USA system creates a dense fog with near zero visibility conditions in just seconds, Eagle told Fox News. The fog is designed to be dense and disorienting to deter an intruder from following through with their intentions. In June, the company completed its first liquor store installation in Memphis, Tennessee. So far this year, Density USA has been approved for sale in North Carolina, South Carolina, Prince George's County, Maryland, Oakland, California, and Chicago, Illinois. The rise in interest in the fogging device comes as stores are expected to lose $115 billion in retail theft by 2025. Wow. Gonna have to put in fogging machines? That is a unique way of doing it. But Melody,
at least they're fighting back.
How desperate are the stores to have to think of something like that and take out name brand, hoping people will quit stealing from them? How sad is that?
Pretty sad.
I mean, there's just no way to even begin to comprehend how bad this nation's coming, folks. It really isn't. And we're about out of time, but it's getting to the point now that business owners and homeowners are getting desperate. They're getting desperate. I mean, it's so bad now that, we're out of time. That's it.
I can't believe that went fast. Okay, we will be back tomorrow. And again, happy birthday, Butch.
Thank you, birthday boy.
And until then, be safe. Good night and God bless.
Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me a welcome.